getting started on the second 1,000 podcasts with podcast 1001 at another campsite, this one in the Sierra Nevadas, on the west side of the Sierras now. I'm going to take you back a little bit to, I guess it's the eastern Sierras, the desert, still the desert, for an interview that I did with a guy who I only know him as David. He gave me his card. His name is David Gilder Keel, and he has a very interesting story. And I'm just going to say that a lot of people say, oh, you must meet a lot of interesting people and interview them. First of all, it's never what the podcasts were about. It's more my experiences and not to say that I'm the most interesting man in the world, but I find that when you stick a microphone in front of most people, even the most interesting person suddenly becomes uninteresting. That is not the case with Dave. And I'm going to tell you the story of how I came to know Dave and interview Dave the other night in a nearly empty campground in the desert. And I think that his story is going to be very interesting to people who are interested in the outdoors, current times, and that's all I'm going to say for now. Well, as you know, I've been talking about attorneys every now and then, and talking about the services my favorite attorneys provide. And I want to talk about Virtus Law, Nathan Nelson. Virtus Law is kind of big time. They have offices in Cambridge, Minnesota, Edina, Maplewood, Red Wing, Mendota Heights, and even an office in Dallas, Texas. But when it comes to business, Virtus Law, of course, offers full services. So small business owners, this is really important. So Nathan W. Nelson tries to help businesses and does help businesses by helping them think strategically. Maybe you think as a business owner that you're one step ahead of the game and you got it all under control, but most of the time you really have to think two or three or four steps ahead, and that's what Nathan W. Nelson does. Because to be on top of things today in terms of business, it just might not be enough to be one step ahead. And maybe your attorney is one step ahead, or maybe your attorney does what you ask him to do, but you want strategic help and you want strategic thinking when it comes to business law. That is Virtus Law. 612-888-1000, 612-888-1000. Nathan W. Nelson is somebody I can refer. I know he works hard for his clients, and I know that he is a very strategic thinker when it comes to owners of growing businesses. So if you want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transactions, then you want to talk to Nathan W. Nelson, one of the co-founders at Virtus Law. Full legal services, strategic planners with fees structured reasonably. Call Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law, 612-888-1000, 612-888-1000. Well, we're all kind of getting back into festivals and things going on, and I'm pretty sure that the air show at Oshkosh, EAA, whatever it is, will be EAA 21, is going to be on this year. And if you're a pilot and you're going, you want to visit the Alpha Systems booth at EAA. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. I've talked about how and why. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you do go to the show, stop by the booth, say hi to Mark Korn. He is amazing. He'll stand there for 8 hours, 10 hours talking to people about AOA. He loves doing that, so say hello. So first of all, I recorded the interview with Dave in the desert. So I'm not in the desert anymore, and you can hear the frogs, and you can hear that I'm near water. And so I'm on the western side of the Sierras in California, working my way up to Oregon. So I'm in pretty far northern California, coming through the Gold Rush areas, all up Route 49. And so on, 89, 49, and so on. And really this campsite where I am right now is just kind of taking a break and then getting started, getting into Oregon in the next couple days. So I interviewed Dave in the desert. Now, if you've done any camping at all, you know that when you pull into a campground, usually you kind of keep to yourself. Some people are really social and they go around and they talk to people. most of the time, that's the ambassadors or the camp hosts that are just going around introducing themselves, or it's people that have been there for a long time in a campsite. So I pulled in next to this guy's campsite, and it was just Dave had a tent of sorts. It's a tent with no floor. It's just a sort of almost a tarp. More to it than that, but it's a tent. It's just a different kind of tent. It's based on an Indian design where there's no floor, and in the desert, the wind kind of comes in underneath the floor. Anyway, I don't want to go on too long about it, but the last day that I was there was the day after Memorial Day. And by that time, everyone had left. So the campsite was pretty deserted, sundown, and everybody had left. And I was going to the bathroom, or what, you know, the vault toilet, which was in between our two campsites. And I had said hello to this guy previously, but this time I said, hey, and it's pretty nice when the place gets emptied out. So then we started talking, and within 3 minutes, and remember, it's dusk, I said, hang on, I'm going to go get my tape recorder. I want to record this conversation. And that's when I began the interview. So what you're going to hear now is me kind of walking up to Dave's site, and I'm going to fade out the sounds of this campground because we were in the desert, and there are no frogs in the desert. There are very few. You might hear some crickets every now and then, but most of the bugs crawl. There's snakes and some bugs, but you don't see them and you don't hear them most of the time in the desert. So Dave is an outdoorsman. He will tell you that he is a very experienced outdoorsman. And when you hear the story and what he's doing, I think you'll find it interesting. So here we go with Dave Gilder Keel. So let's walk on up to Dave's campsite.
So I like this tent. I have all kinds of tents, you know. I'm a gearhead.
So you were in the outdoors business for years.
I've worked all kinds of jobs, but I worked in the outdoor industry a lot, outdoor retailing. But I've also worked as a wilderness land manager, wilderness ranger, trails crew programmer, coordinator, trails crew supervisor. For me, it's all about the land. It's all about being out there. It's about connection with the land. Are we talking now?
Oh yeah, we're talking.
Okay.
And you were talking about, which I think is really interesting. Tell the story about your truck and your little experiment, your little social experiment, which I think is extreme. It's like, it's Gonzo Nomad. I love it.
Listen to me. We could spend hours and hours talking about shit, you know, stuff, you know, and good stuff. But this is sort of more recent kind of transformation in my life the last couple of years. In 2013, they told me that they weren't going to renew my contract as a wilderness ranger. I was a wilderness ranger for the Austin District of the Humboldt-Toyabe National Forest in the Great Basin ranges in central Nevada. It was a wonderful job. The most remote, beautiful country that you can imagine, and people don't know that.
What kind of stuff do you have to do as a wilderness ranger?
I was a wilderness monitor. I patrolled the trails, interviewed the hikers out there. They call it the loneliest road in America, Highway 50 out there. There were not very many people to interview. But I coordinated trail crews that were AmeriCorps hired trail crews through Friends in Nevada Wilderness, partnered with all of those, worked, and we did trail work out there. But anyways, my contract got ended. And they said, we just don't have the money for you anymore. So that was a heartbreaker.
Mm.
So then I decided what to do. I said I wanted to hike the Pacific Crest Trail again. In 1973, I was one of the first people to finish the 2,500-mile Pacific Crest Trail. And so 2013, I set off to do it again. And being now in forced retirement. Well, so I had to park my truck. I had a camper, custom-built camper on a little old Toyota truck, beautiful little old truck. It was a beautiful thing, but I needed to park it, and I put it in storage. Okay? And then I started hiking on what I call Going Loopy in the West, backpacking the Great Western Loop. It's a 7,000-mile loop on all the national scenic trails in the West. And I've been doing that since 2013, since I got put in retirement. Okay, I know.
So you're still doing it.
I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I still have some miles to go. I'm going to Colorado in July and getting on a trail. Okay, so in the meantime, I'm without a vehicle. I was only using my camper, driving at 3,000 or 4,000 miles a winter camping in the deserts. And I'm going like, I'm paying insurance all year long for it. I'm paying registration. I have to keep the operating costs. You can't just have a truck sitting. You've got to operate it still.
Yeah, right.
And so I decided I put the truck in storage. And so for the last about 3 years, I've been doing this social experiment of how do you travel as an adventure traveler, adventure trekker, as a explorer, how do you travel without a vehicle? How do you use public transportation? How do you use your friends? How do you use your thumb? Okay? All of these things. And I started putting it to test. And I started finding out it's incredibly difficult in our nation to travel without a vehicle. But the whole thing is, with tenaciousness and patience, and that is the art of being a traveler, to be patient. Settle back, take a deep breath, realize you're going to have to go through some things. Even if it's traveling on Greyhound, you're going to have long layovers at Salt Lake Depot, 8 hours before your next connection on those hard benches, okay? And they say that they made those benches so hard, those wire benches, to keep the homeless people from sleeping in a bus station. But what about the people that are paying the bus ticket, okay? So it's not easy being a traveler. The roots go back to maybe being travailing, to being having trouble. Like traveling can be hard, okay?
Yeah.
But it's not without its rewards.
There you go.
And the rewards are there, okay? And let me tell you, I found out that it is possible to use the minimalistic public transportation we have in this country, a combination of your friends that might meet you and our hitchhiking. And so this is what I've been doing, and if I have anything to say about it, like it's a humbling experience. It's a little depressing to think that when you're on the side of the road and you've been hiking on the Continental Divide National Scenic Trail and you're hitching down at a ski town to get resupply, you're a hero. Everybody says, hey baby, I always want to do that. I want to hike that trail. But then you get a little farther away from the town and you have your little minimalistic ultralight backpacking gear pack, which costs thousands of dollars, to be honest with you, all the gear. And you're sitting there on the road, and all of a sudden, you're a homeless deviant.
Now, in the second half of this podcast, we'll finish up with Dave. I just can't believe all the things that he's done, and the fact that he's going to do all this stuff again at 71 is amazing. I'm sure you've heard me talking about Stephanie Fleming at inspireandflourish.org. She's the founder. If you want to help animals, listen up, because inspireandflourish.org helps animals by helping the agencies that help these animals, dogs and cats who have been abandoned all over the country. And Stephanie, aside from flying all over the place to help these animals, it is such a passion with her. Her own family is often like, Mom, Mom, for God's sake. But she really believes in what she's doing, and she helps agencies that help animals. So if you want to help animals, help Inspire and Flourish with a tax-deductible donation to Inspire and Flourish by visiting inspireandflourish.org. You can also click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I'm here to tell you that hatred is okay. That's right, you heard me. Hatred is okay as long as it's directed at the most poorly engineered and least progressive piece of office machinery in your office, and that's your printer. Most people hate paying for print cartridges because they're so expensive. Cartridge World can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota, Cartridge World can take care of you. Also, businesses can qualify for free printers, and businesses can qualify for free delivery. 763-420-6632 from anywhere in this corner of the universe, or click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. Cartridge World, why pay more to print?
And you are like just a transient, and people like give you bag lunches and then speed off and go like, I'm not giving you a ride, but here's a bag lunch, you know? And it's like, but you are the same person. Mm-hmm. You are the same person. You are the traveler. You are the one having the patience and travailing through this. You are the troubadour. And, you know, it's like, I've got to tell you that my brain, my mind, my spirit, my soul has learned so many things that I didn't think I would learn in the last few years, not traveling with a vehicle. Mm. Just being out, meeting people, how they accept me, how they don't accept me, it's a humbling and beautiful experience. And I want to tell you, we all know it. The electric car may not save us all. We may not be able to have an economy that the average person can have an electric car. But the world of the car is dead, and we are going to have to learn how to travel and how to be in a world that is not just the world of the car, unless you're rich, I suppose. And I'm not preaching that. I'm not saying that.
This is just something that you've observed.
That's just something I've observed. And maybe we should all sort of start to get used to having a little more minimalist style of living, a little more simplistic style of living, where we don't have to be using so much energy.
No, and you know what's funny is I thought that I downsized, but you have really made me look like a fool.
But no, that's not the way it is, and I don't see it that way.
I'm kidding, but
I don't see it that way, and I don't judge anybody. I understand the whole thing. But the thing is that there'll be a day. A big part of my life I'm spending hiking on the long trails. I've hiked 6,600 miles of what's called the Great Western Loop, amalgamation of all the Great Western trails in the West, all the National Scenic Trails. And I've got a couple more years to finish up doing that. And then I'll have done that as just a personal goal.
Wow.
But the thing is that when I finish that, I'm getting old. I'm 71 years old. It's getting harder every year to push, and you know,
physically, how is it? I mean, you're doing something pretty amazing.
It's very hard
for anyone,
but I love it, and it's a joy. Okay, the nature feeds me, the mountains feed me. What can be better for you than to be breathing 12,000 foot air, sucking it so deep in your lungs that it hurts, but still it's the most beautiful fresh air, drinking beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountain water, getting exercise, and eating relatively healthy, you know? And
one of the things that I thought was really cool food. You've got your cooler down in the stream over there, and you're keeping your food cold naturally.
Well,
because that water's pretty cold.
Well, I'm base camping it here now. I'm just waiting. I love the High Sierra. I love the East Side. I've traveled extensively. If you were at Tuttle Creek Campground in the shadow of Mount Whitney, above Lone Pine, California, I've traveled extensively all across all the Great Basin Desert ranges, all surrounding here. I've hiked the Pacific Crest Trail across to Sierra Nevada twice. I've hiked the John Muir Trail 6 times.
Wow.
I've spent summers in the High Sierra. This is a beautiful place. I love it here. But essentially, I'm base camping it here, and you have to improvise it. I'm without a vehicle. And I'm using natural resources to help it. And I have my fresh food in a plastic tub under a...
It's awesome.
Under a towel.
I went over there to get water, and I came through the creek, and I saw it.
Yeah.
I was like, there it is, man.
I have a Nesh dunk bag, and it's got some Gatorade in there and a jar of pickles and some Pabst Blue Ribbon, not beyond it. And, I don't know. Life does not have to be so complicated. It can be pretty simple, you know. I do have a smartphone. Conduct my business and have 24,000 songs on it.
You right.
know? And, I'm a musician. It's like I'm not preaching against anybody else's
way. I didn't think that.
Or anything like that.
I didn't think that. I'm
saying
making a joke.
There are other ways.
Other ways, yeah.
There are other ways. And you know, they may be very satisfying ways, you know. And for me, it is. Well,
at a time when everybody seems to want to hit the road right now, it's amazing. And what I was thinking when you were talking is, the amount of experience that goes, you know, the amount of experience that you have, years of doing this, that go into what looks like a pretty simple way of life, there's a lot there that makes this possible. That if somebody were to just start doing this, now, they'd have to learn those lessons.
That you're really true. Like right now, we're at the base of the, you know, the High Sierra, Mount Whitney. Because there's a drought year, the PCT hikers, Pacific Crest Trail hikers, hiking from Mexico to Canada, are trying to, 2,600 miles, they're all here right now. And they're record crowds of visitation of people in the national parks.
Yep.
People want to get out. You know, they're tired of the cities. They're tired of that lifestyle. But they might not understand how to connect. They might have to have a big old RV or something. But they're trying to go to national parks. They may not know how to hike. The PCT hikers getting on the trail, if there's 1,000 people starting this year, over 50% of them will fail. But they're trying. They're seeking nature. They want to be connected
with
nature.
It's not a failure if they're trying.
It's not a failure if they're trying. At least they got out and they tried. But they are sort of like have a deficit of skills, because everything now is learned online, and with your smartphone, And you can plan a 2,600 mile hike in a weekend, possibly, where if you did it 30 years ago, it would take you 2 years to plan writing letters and everything. And you'd be much more committed to it and everything. So what I'm saying is there's a real need for people to connect to the land, but they're also disconnected by the cyber world. Well, look what we're doing now, and everything else. And so to work through that is a process. And all we can say is, and so I'm going to finish it up here, is that all of us wanting to have a need that we don't even know. We want to be connected with the land. We want to see a butterfly, a lizard. We want to see a flower. You know, we want to see the snow melting down the creek. We want to see a trout there and there. You know, we want to see these things. We want to get connected with it. But, you know, the whole thing is that we have to allow ourselves to, you know, take our necktie and take and feed it down the garbage disposal. Take our cell phone and flush it down the toilet, you know, and, you know, not listen to Bluetooth music while we're hiking down the trail, you know, listen to the birds and the bees. You know, that's all I have to say is get back to nature, brothers and sisters. A simple song. I've just lived and loved and did what I did, you know, and that's all, you know. And I mean, there's stuff going on right now with other stuff, and you look at what everybody's done and what everybody can do, and, you know, I just feel so lucky and so blessed that I've been able to do what I've done and still kind of hobble along and still do what I'm doing, you know. I miss my camper. And one day I'll resurrect it, you know, it'll come out of storage, you know, and all that. But it's just, I realize that right now it's not it, you know. I have other things in mind, you know. It's like
I think what you're doing is amazing.
It's like a friend of mine said, like, if you run the lottery, where would you buy your ranch home with a hot spring on it, you know? And I'm going like, yeah, but I would have to have attendants. I would have to have caretakers because I would never be there. I do this winter, hopefully I can find a place to rent cheap enough. Oh, my brother will rent the trailer again. I have, you know, a writing project that I really want to work on and really requires to be sitting down for a long time. In one place. I mean, you know, for months, and even then it won't even be totally done, you know. But you know, I just really want to do that, you know. But there's the other side of it is that I realize at my age, if I don't keep doing stuff and moving,
well, then you're just gonna.
I'm gonna lose it.
Yeah.
Because I watch so many people that are my age and my peers that are so fucked up.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
You know what you're doing is kind of a walk. In addition to that, which is in a way, it's a form of art. You know. It can be a lot of things. I don't want to aggrandize it too much, but
wow.
It is.
you know, and that's it. And but there's a lot of people hiking. There's a lot of people out hiking and doing stuff these days. But everybody has a sort of different bent on it. You know, I mean, a lot of it now is fastest known times. Do the trail as fast as you can. Just do the trail so you look at me with the selfies kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I get it. You know, I mean, it's kind of like you enter into it how you enter into it, you know, and then maybe eventually it'll blossom into something different, you know, maybe a little more creative than just...
Let me see how fast I can do this.
Yeah, you know, and so... But national parks are receiving record visitation. People are obviously...
interested.
In wanting to get out. And then I think, but what's the important thing is to kind of communicate just a back to nature thing, you know, that to, you know, like look at the bugs and look at the little rocks, you know, look at the little flowers and look at all the crazy things, you know, I mean, and not just be there because I'm going to take a selfie with a picture of mine.
Wouldn't be summer, and it wouldn't be Minneapolis-St. Paul if it weren't for 36 and Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. So if you're in town and you need gas, just remember, as an independently owned and operated station, they can get a better deal on fuel and pass the savings on to you. But the store is what it's all about, and community involvement. They have all kinds of festivals, food trucks, things going on there. Remember 36 and Lynn next time you swing through Minneapolis or need gas or a cup of coffee. They have great coffee. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lyn36lyn.com or click on their cool banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Well, as Dave said, you get that all edited up. And the fact is, there's not very much editing in that interview. Most of it is just for time. And most of the stuff that was taken out was just me and him talking before we did the interview, which was, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And then afterwards, this is what we did, and so forth. And you do meet interesting people every now and then when you are doing the Nomad thing. And they do have really amazing stories to tell, especially some of the people who are camp hosts and ambassadors and the least likely people that you would think that you would talk to. I kind of thought that Dave wasn't very hospitable, but he was feeling social. In other words, he wasn't inhospitable at all. My impression of him was that he wasn't necessarily somebody that wanted to talk to me. But he turned out to be an amazing guy. So this is what I mean. First impressions, visual impressions. Dave, I did not take a picture of Dave. He has white hair and a white beard, a lot of white hair, a lot of a big beard, which he said that he just needed to. Normally he wouldn't have that, but he'd been out in the desert so long, hasn't been able to go to a barber. So that's, and then he was wearing just shorts and a shirt. And he's very tan. He has the look of somebody who's been in the desert for a long time. And I'm really glad he took the time to spend some time talking to me. And I appreciate it, Dave. Appreciate your music. And thanks for listening to Podcast 1001, the Bob Davis Podcasts. It's on the road now to Oregon and then Washington State and on back to Minnesota through some pretty amazing country. So stay tuned.
There's guns across the river aiming at you. Lawman on your trail, he like to catch you. Bounty hunters too, they like to get you. Billy, they don't like you to be so free.